Hey, this is Macy Gray, and you are listening to OC Caravan with Scott Hayes and Jim Bass. Come on.
All right. Good morning, Laguna Beach. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this, of course, is Radio Caravan. And I'm here with my co-host, Jim Bastian. We got sort of a lot of stuff going on this morning. We're looking forward to some upcoming shows in March that we don't even really want to talk about just yet, but we're looking forward to them. But as a reminder, our show broadcasts on Cox, 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays, and this weekend is the voice impersonator Jeff Trakta, who was a lot of fun.
Nah, it was an amazing show. If you guys have a chance to watch it, he does amazing characters from television in the 70s and 80s, cartoon characters.
Yeah.
We were in here just mesmerized by the different voices that he had, and very talented guy, and someone that I think people will recognize and go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Done a Big Vegas show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. It's a really, really good show.
He does impersonations of singers as well. Everybody from Bob Dylan to Andrea Bocelli to Fergie.
Yeah. No, he did the whole Black Eyed Peas. Every person in the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
And he does the digital multimedia thing with the screen in the back. Mm-hmm. So really interesting guy.
Yeah. So that's 8 p.m. tonight, 12 noon tomorrow Sunday. Jeff Trakta, voice impersonator. Also a reminder, you can like us on Facebook. So, Jim, we got the Oscars coming up, but I want to save that conversation for a little later. Engineer April's got some stuff she's brought in. I've got my brother-in-law calling in with a little game I've got prepared for us.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
And, of course, we have Katie Fetters over there playing with the headphones set.
Good morning.
There she is. So, and we're going to talk to Katie in a little bit as well. But what's going on in your life?
I had to be a single dad the last 3 days.
A Mr. Mom?
Mr. Mom.
Ah.
Yeah, my wife usually does an annual trip with her mom and her sisters. They've gone to Paris. They've gone to New York. They've gone to San Francisco. And my sister-in-law lives in Santa Barbara. And so they went up Thursday. Do you watch the Food Network, TV Food Network?
Wife does, I guess.
Yeah, so there's a TV Food Network star, Ina Garten. Mm-hmm. She's called the Barefoot Contessa, written a number of books, and I guess they really like her because mm-hmm. she was speaking at some private event up in Santa Barbara, and so they had gotten tickets months ago, and so they went up there for that. And so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I've been on my own with the kids. I had to make the lunches. I had to coordinate getting them their activities.
Poor baby.
I know. I had to get the dogs to my mom's house.
And awesome.
I was.
You're awesome.
You actually step out and you go, whoa, she does a ton of stuff. And
you realize.
This will sound like self-serving, but you really don't appreciate it until she's not there, and then you're having to do all these things. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing the last 3 days, and it's been fun.
Yeah, and so you handled it well, do you believe? Did you get a little frustrated at any parts?
The kids were impressed that the lunches were made properly.
Uh-huh.
I actually, you know, they line them up on the counter, and I put their initials on the bag, and so I did that correctly, and they opened them, and they said, looks like you did a good job. And
beautiful.
So I got that done, and, you know, the kids all got to their events, and everybody was home safe last night.
Good.
You know?
That sounds nice. You ever get to do the guy weekend thing?
I do.
Yeah.
I actually, mine's coming up. In fact, we got to make sure we coordinate these shows a little bit so that I don't miss it. Although I could maybe come in remotely because I have an annual trip to Las Vegas for March Madness.
Oh.
So the first weekend of the NCAA tournament,
right.
I've been going for almost 20 years with a college group and then buddies from coaching and my office and clients and different people. The group has swelled to, you know, it's gone as big as 30 down to 10.
Uh-huh.
And this year we're going to the Hard Rock. Leaving Wednesday night on the last flight out of John Wayne, and then I'll be in the sports book at 9 a.m. Thursday for the start of all the action. And the fun thing is that you've got, you know, four games going on at a time, and so you're betting every game, and, you know, there's no loyalty
right.
to a team
no.
like the loyalty that you have to your wallet. So when you bet a team, you know, it's Southern Illinois,
yeah.
you know, you're like, okay, let's go Salukis. Da, 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 da. I mean, that's just how it goes. So
how much you end up dropping on that weekend? And don't lie to me.
You know, actually, it's really funny. I have never gotten slaughtered.
Yeah.
I actually do pretty good in the sports book, and then I usually give it back on the tables.
Right.
So I'll wager at any given time a couple hundred bucks. It's usually $50 a game
uh-huh.
as it's going. And I have a limit. If I lose more than a grand, I'm done.
Right.
So I kind of just let it stay within the $1,000 bucks.
Good
then
for you.
I usually come home intact or a couple hundred down, a couple hundred up. A couple years I've been a couple thousand up, but I've never been more than 1,000 down. I just draw that limit.
That's a good limit to draw, yeah.
Yeah.
And is there any drinking going on that weekend?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, into that.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, you're sitting there. You have to pace yourself, though. One year, a couple guys, this was a few years ago when all these energy drinks were really coming up for the first time. So it was Red Bull and vodka originally, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're coming out with Monster, and then there was this one called Piranha. And Piranha was a very tasty orange drink. And so we started drinking Piranhas. Well, the Piranha hits you hard in a really, really bad way mid-afternoon because you get this thrust of sugar, caffeine, and then the vodka. One guy actually, this sounds scary, but it worked out fine, went to the emergency room because he just thought he was done. And
right.
It turns out he was just overloaded on this Piranha stuff.
I think my worst overload moment happened in Vegas, and I don't even like to revisit it in my head, I'll have to be honest, but it was one of those. I was on a solo and I ended up getting kicked out of a bar for some reason.
Right.
As far as I was concerned, I didn't do anything, but it was the next morning when I had to get up and go through the airport that I couldn't make it.
Well, no, it's funny. So we used to go Wednesday night to Sunday and then get home Sunday night. And now I was much younger then, and that was, it's impossible to do that.
Yeah.
Now. So I usually go and get back Saturday during the day. One time I was coaching baseball, and I had a 9 o'clock game that I was coaching, and so I got a 6:30 flight out of Vegas on a Saturday morning. I didn't go to bed.
Yeah.
And so I coached this game. I'm sad to say it was almost like Buttermaker from Bad News Bears, but we won the game.
Right.
I didn't get tossed.
All
right. And everything was good.
Good. Did you toss? Did you toss?
I did
yourself?
Not. Oh, I did okay. not. You know,
have
actually,
you ever? You ever gone like that?
Ever, ever?
Ever, ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
who does that?
It's been a while. You know, that was a college thing for the most part.
Yeah.
I try not to get to a, you know, actually, as you get older too, you can't drink as much
no
as
way.
You used to. So you can't even get to that point. You're like, I just shut down. Yeah. I'm one of these, I'm happy, I'm having fun. Dance and singing, and then I just, you know, it's like Weekend at Bernie's. I'm over there in the corner, and like, who's the dead guy? So I'm pretty harmless that
way. But one of these nights in the near future, you and I and maybe the team should get together and you know, engage a little bit in that process.
Absolutely.
My limit really, if I really push it, is like 2 beers and 2 shots. I like the nice tequila, and that's about it. That's about my limit. Normally, it's 1 or 2 beers, and I'm done.
So the key for the Vegas weekend is we have this rule, mix in a water. So
yeah.
One for one.
That's good.
Every beer, have a water.
Yeah.
So you try to go, honestly, mm-hmm. This gets depending on the action, you go two an hour. So you every half hour you have a beer, you mix in the water, and mm-hmm. you just try to eat, stay hydrated,
right.
Take a break. You know,
it's
a marathon, not a sprint.
You don't sleep well either. I don't sleep well when I've been drinking.
So. No. And the issue, you're in Vegas, so you're going to be up till 2-3, mm-hmm. and then you got to be up for 9 o'clock games. So,
right.
You know, that's just part of the
little
deal.
Hair of the dog the next morning?
A little bit. I don't go right into that. I usually kind of will have a good breakfast, lay a good base, and then start in the afternoon.
Yeah. Lay a good base and then have a good afternoon.
Yeah. I have a big event coming up on Thursday, actually. So, you know, I chair the Mission Hospital Golf Tournament.
Right.
We're in our big sponsorship drive, and we're going to have an event at the Kettle One Hospitality Center at the Nolet Spirit headquarters in Aliso Viejo.
Nice.
So it's this tasting room that Kettle One has. It's incredible. And if you haven't been there, it's just a great thing. And so we're inviting, you know, 50, 60 business leaders in Orange County to learn about the hospital. And then we have sponsors that have been supportive of us in the past, and we're hoping that we can get them to commit. But yeah, we're catering it. Great Kettle One vodka, Nolet's dry gin, their premium gin brand. I'm not a gin guy, but that's actually a really good gin. I can actually, you know, tolerate that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's coming up Thursday.
That sounds fun.
So that'll be a fun event Thursday.
Do you have
night.
A golf tournament coming up at some point as well?
Yeah, the tournament's actually in June 15th
okay, June.
At Pelican Hill.
Yeah.
We'll get more into
yeah,
that
we'll
as we get
later.
Closer. But yeah, we have this sponsorship event coming up Thursday, so
right.
That'll be fun.
Sounds good, Jim. Well, it's always great when you plan events that we sort of revolve around drinking. So good, kudos, my friend. Kudos.
I try.
Hey, also, Katie, let me talk to you a little bit. We were chatting before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you were mentioning this film coming up, this documentary film over at Soka University.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Can you tell us a little about what's going on there?
Yeah, of course. About every month we have a free film screening that's ran by Community Cinema, a PBS organization. And in March, on March 12th at 7 p.m., we have a film called The Home Stretch, and it's about youth homelessness and just bringing awareness about the issue kind of in a local and national stance. So I was kind of hoping to bring in some of the Friendship Shelter and have a nice discussion going after the film.
Yeah. Well, when Mark Miller comes in, of course, who hosts the Friendship Show after our show, you know, we should ask him and see if he wants. I'm sure he would love to if he has the availability.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He'd be involved in that as well.
Yeah.
So, Katie, how's school going?
It's going well.
Yeah.
My last semester.
Home stretch, huh?
Yeah, definitely the home stretch.
Actually,
as well.
That's what made me think about it. The home stretch. I was like, Katie's in her home stretch
yeah.
right now.
Just have to finish my senior capstone first, and then I'll have fun.
I tell everybody what you're writing on again. I remember what it is. But
yeah,
how's it?
I'm writing about internet identity and kind of how that's a participatory experience, a performative experience, collaborative experience, and kind of the discussing the boundaries of the internet and the freedom and the privacy aspect of the internet. So,
how far along are you?
I'm about halfway done with my first draft.
Okay. Is it coming together the way you expected?
It is. I mean, I have a lot of free time on my hands, so you'd think I'd be writing more, but it's a little harder to do that.
It's almost like you have more time. It's harder to buckle down.
It really is.
Not as much structure. So what have you learned or taken away from what you've been researching that maybe surprised you or that you didn't expect or maybe affirmed what you thought?
That's a really good question. I just watched the film Citizen 4. It's about Edward Snowden.
Great film.
And mass surveillance. So that's actually gotten me really paranoid about using the internet.
Really?
What did you think of Edward Snowden in terms of his reasoning for releasing those documents?
I thought... Oh, don't worry about it.
You think he had a good reason?
Yeah, I think that, you know, everyone calls him a whistleblower, mm-hmm. but I think that he really just is kind of just looking out for everyone's best interest, and he didn't want it to be about self-sacrifice or anything. That wasn't his kind of play. And that's why he leaked all the documents through the journalists first. It wasn't just him saying, look, I work for the CIA and the NSA. Here you go. I'm exposing them for what they did. So I thought in that it's really admirable what he did.
So traitor or patriot?
I don't even think he would consider himself a patriot because I don't know if he necessarily wants to really associate himself with kind of the American like mindset. I don't know if he really enjoys being, I don't know, a member of the CIA after he kind of figured out what they're involved in
right.
with mass surveillance. But I don't know. That's a good question.
So you say you're afraid of the internet now?
No, I'm not necessarily afraid.
You should
I'm
be.
I'm just using it, I think, with a little bit more perspective and awareness about kind of, I don't know, and it brings forth a really good discussion about kind of democracy and kind of like if we're all aware that the internet is being watched at all points in time, are we going to be more hesitant about what we type in? Are we just going to not care because we have nothing to hide? I don't know. It makes me think about
really
those kinds of things.
No, and I would imagine for people in your demographic, age, generation, whatever you want to call it, that there's not necessarily a keen awareness of mm-hmm. all that can happen
when
the impact
really
of what you do on the internet. So. Mm-hmm.
I asked this question of my college students in my English courses, especially my critical thinking skills class, and we talk about Edward Snowden quite extensively, and I read, I pass out articles, like from Vanity Fair, pretty extensive article on Vanity Fair. Citizen 4 wasn't out until just recently, so I haven't had a chance to show that documentary, but I will, you know,
It's playing this weekend, actually.
Is it?
In Rancho Nogal.
Yeah, so I'll have that chance. And what I found was the majority of students don't care, in my classes now, don't really care that they're, you know, that their government is listening in on their, watching their emails or their correspondence back and forth, and they don't care necessarily what the government is who the government is spying on and why.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
It's a little dangerous to me. I think if you're going to be so kind of compliant or ignorant, it doesn't really allow you to kind of understand the magnitude of what is actually happening.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a concept that we learn in law school, the reasonable expectation of privacy. Mm-hmm. And if one has a reasonable expectation of privacy, then the government can't intrude on that. And if they discover anything in the course of that search, for example, in a criminal setting, it can't be used against you. So the question becomes, in this day and age where everything is open and it's becoming more and more known that no matter what you do and how private you try to keep a conversation, even on your phone, just talking, given the surveillance that goes on, is there now a reasonable expectation of privacy in your internet communications, whether it's email, text, or, or otherwise?
No, unless you want to encrypt everything, I don't think
there is. Well, and that's an interesting thing, because I think I hear what you're saying, Scott, in terms of people don't really care if people are listening, but I still think most people assume that when they're texting just one person, that it's a private conversation between the two of them, notwithstanding the access that people have.
Yeah, I mean, that message is always being intercepted. By whom? We don't really know.
Right.
But that can always be accessed.
Well, it's interesting that a lot of this came up after 9/11, and the government basically said, look, we have a supreme interest in making sure that we avoid another attack, and so we're going to do whatever we have to do to protect the country and, its citizens. Privacy be damned, civil rights be damned, whatever it is. And it's interesting because I think we, as you get further and further away from 9/11, you kind of forget about what things were like then. And I think at the moment, everyone was like, yeah, whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. But now as we've, you know, gone past 14 years, almost 14 years away from it, people are like, wait a minute, you know, is this really what I bargained for or what I would expect? So
yeah, what would be interesting to see is if people start demanding, like, warrants, you know? It's like, well, if you're going to, you know, bring forth my whole email database, then let's see a warrant, you know?
Well, let me ask you this, Jim. Do you love your country?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No, I, you know.
Because apparently, according to somebody, Obama doesn't love his country. That's
Well, it's funny. I mean, that's an interesting debate this week. Rudy Giuliani seems to be getting off the rocker a little bit. I mean, I watched him extensively this week, and I actually happened to be watching him on Fox when he started his rant with Sean Hannity, and I understand where he's coming from as part of just being now a pundit or a conservative commentator, but I don't think you can draw the conclusion that Obama doesn't love his country simply because he's refusing to label ISIS as an Islamic extremist organization. Mm-hmm. And if you actually listen to the counter side and people who understand what is actually being messaged out there, it has nothing to do with the fact that he thinks they should be getting away from it. He's trying to make sure that that he can engage the people who he thinks in the administration thinks can actually influence change within Islamic communities. So
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'll tell you, I got to tell you something that's bugging me, and we're sort of on this this media platform for the moment. And last night I was flipping through and I stopped on CNN, and here is this new CNN Trivia Pursuit.
I saw that. What is that?
Game show.
Among their hosts, right?
Yeah.
All their political hosts.
And I'm thinking, this is the silliest thing I've ever seen. Why would you want a well-respected news organization, broadcast news organization, playing something as silly as, you know, name your president?
No, it was crazy, too. The other thing that I watched it, I think, Thursday night, and I was actually astonished on a couple of the questions that they didn't know the answers.
Yeah.
And they were getting them wrong. And so, if anything, it exposes some of these
it does.
Supposedly knowledgeable hosts for being maybe not as knowledgeable as you would expect.
Yeah. And as we know, some hosts, you know, they read the cards, or I guess they read the cameras, et cetera.
Right.
So I don't know. I just found it odd. And it's a thumbs down for me when it comes to CNN on that game show.
I think they're just everybody's trying to get ratings.
That's what it is. It's like becoming a reality TV show.
So I do watch a lot of different channels. So when I work out in the morning, I go on the elliptical and I have the news channels going. I watch CNBC to see what's going on in the markets, and I will flip to Fox News. And it's gotten to the point where I watch Fox News and they're talking about the weather. And the same anchors are saying, gosh, the deep freeze and it's just crazy out there and temperatures. And you're just waiting for them to blame Obama for that. I'm like, everything they go, it's like, it's Obama's fault.
Yeah.
And it's not too far a fetch to think they're going to start blaming this extreme weather on Obama somehow.
Yeah.
Because that's just seemingly what they do.
That's funny, man. That's funny.
Anyway, but I did find something flipping around yesterday that I was very excited to see, which was that SNL 40 special.
Oh, yeah.
They rebroadcast it last night on NBC. I missed it the first time last Sunday.
Right.
You watched it, right?
I did, yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, April saw it. You saw it too, yeah.
I mean, that was some of the most interesting television, because what they did is they took all of the best things that had happened over 40 years. Because, you know, with a skit on Saturday Night Live,
sure,
it's usually really funny for 5 minutes and then it goes too long.
Yeah.
But they just grabbed all the highlights, and it was hysterical.
Oh, stuff that's worked its way into pop culture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing that always stands out for me is the more cowbell. I don't know. There's something so silly about that particular scene.
More cowbell.
And you know, he's back there kind of pounding that, and Chris walking. April, you saw, did you find a skit in particular you liked? Or?
Oh, like you said, I liked them all.
Yeah.
Really, they were all pretty good. I like Steve Martin when he gets out there. And
he's always
my favorite people. But.
Right.
The Jeopardy that they did.
Yeah.
The action that Will Ferrell
yeah.
as Alex Trebek, and then Sean Connery was hysterical.
Yeah,
I've been talking about getting Will Ferrell on. That'd be kind of fun, huh?
What do you mean you've been talking about that?
Well, I talked to you about. I guess never mind.
Isn't he from Irvine?
He went to
cool.
Yeah, he went to Irvine High School.
Well, what's his mom's name? Do you know her name?
Kay.
Kay Ferrell. Your friends. Let's get her on the phone right now and talk to her and see if you get her son in here.
She's probably working out. She's probably on her bike right now.
And so next time you see her, can't you approach her about getting her son in here?
Yeah, I've talked to you about this, yeah.
And what did I say? I said go for it, probably.
Senior moment.
Yeah, we'll talk after the show.
Okay, but
you
I mean,
betcha.
What you got to lose? What you got to lose by reaching out to her? She'd probably love to have her son come down to the radio show.
I got nothing to lose.
We get her down at the same time. Let's have a mother son.
Maybe Mother's Day special.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's all get our moms in.
No.
So Did you see the Eddie Murphy moment? That was
really weird. You know what happened? Did you read?
Yeah, apparently they wanted to get him in some skits, and then he just passed. And then they got him out there, and he didn't want to engage at all.
Well, I heard they were going to show some clips of his stuff, and they didn't show it. He says, "Well, you know," at the end, he said, "Well, I thought you were going to show my stuff," and they didn't. And I had read, maybe incorrectly, or maybe I'm getting this wrong, he didn't want to do a skit on Bill Cosby. He didn't want to kick.
They originally wrote the Jeopardy thing, because it was the Daily Double. It was the video Daily Double, and he was supposed to come out, you know, mixology and talking about the cop. No, yeah. So, but it was really funny because actually, early in Eddie Murphy's career, he completely railed on Bill Cosby all the time. I mean, if you remember from Eddie Murphy Raw, it was Bill Cosby called Eddie Murphy up and said he can't use the F word.
Right.
And Richard Pryor, because so I called Richard Pryor and asked Richard. I said, Bill Cosby said, don't use the F word. You tell that Jell-O pudding eating Emma. It was really funny.
Yeah.
But so I'm surprised he didn't get out there and do it, actually.
Yeah, he looked like he had attitude, too.
Oh, that's the story on Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he became so big that you hear stories about him, he just changed.
Yeah, you know, I always reflect when you say he became so big, I always reflect on that song he did, Party All the Time, or whatever that was. And
that's the story, too, is that he apparently takes his music so seriously, he wants to be a musician. So
that ain't gonna work. Yeah. So
you know that song, April?
No, I don't.
My girl likes to party all the time.
When I think of Eddie Murphy, I think of Nutty Professor. That's it.
Oh, see, I go back to the Delirious and Raw and the stand-up acts that were incredible. So.
All right, and Seinfeld was good. Jerry Seinfeld was good on that as well.
So. He was. Yeah, Larry David and him.
Larry David. I love Larry David, man. Curb Your Enthusiasm, one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, we're already 25 minutes into this, and we've got a lot to do. We're going to take a short musical break soon. I want to put out a couple of things. April, first and foremost, when we come back, what do you got planned for us musically? What are we going to work on there?
I'm going to play some clips from some of the nominees and winners from this year's Grammys.
Okay.
And we'll see if you guys can guess what song it is, what artist it is, and we'll just talk about the Grammys.
Current music, Scott, we're in trouble.
I know, we're in trouble.
I think I got you on this one.
And then I have my brother-in-law calling in from Atlanta, and we're going to play a little musical game where he's a phenomenal musician, and I'll talk about this after the break, but he's going to play sort of short little snippets of songs that won Academy Awards over the years. And we're going to try to guess those songs.
I'm really anxious to listen to this.
Yeah, this will be a lot of fun.
He plays a unique instrument.
He plays a very unique instrument. And then I've also got some trivia related to Oscar songs. I mean, the Oscars, the Academy Awards are tomorrow night. It's always I always love to watch them and get a pizza and drink a couple of beers, and it's always a fun night for me. So, Mark, if you're listening, which I'm assuming you are, go ahead and call into April, and she'll get you on the line. April, what do you want to lead us out with? A little music?
A little music.
What's this?
I'm not going to tell you because part of the trivia.
Oh, do we guess after or before? All right, go.
Yeah, guess right now.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. This is OC Caravan.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand. But I still need love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see. But darling, no, it's not a good look and some self-control. Deep down I know this never works, but you can lay with me so it doesn't hurt. Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all.
You're listening to KX 93.5 Laguna's Only FM. That was April. What was the name of that song?
I don't know. You guessed. That's part of the game.
Stay with
That's
me, Sam Smith.
Stay with me, Sam Smith.
Multi Grammy winner a couple weeks ago.
New artist.
Like
four Grammys.
Album. No.
Six?
Song. Performer.
But
yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is that the song? Play with me. You know.
No,
but
stay with
I,
me.
No, I get it. I get
play
it. But I want to, Tom Petty. But I. But what's that Tom Petty song?
Oh.
But it won't. Ran down.
I think he pays him royalties on the song.
Really?
I read, you know, I may be having a moment, but I think I read somewhere or heard somewhere that there was some legal issue and he pays royalties to Tom Petty on that song.
Because when I first heard that song, I was immediately came to mind was that Tom Petty song. Yeah.
That's like George Harrison?
My Sweet Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what's funny about copyright laws, especially in the music world, is John Fogerty, who played with Creedence Clearwater Revival,
right?
When he broke up and the other three surviving Creedence members sided against him and sold the rights to all their songs because they were sort of split in fourths. And so he never played those songs for years and years and years. And then he came out with solo albums, and he came out with one song, I think it was Old Man Down the Road. And the publisher, I forget the guy's name, Vance something or other, anyway, claimed that Fogerty stole the copyright to his own song that this other publishing company owned.
Right.
And so Fogerty had to go into a court of law and pick up a guitar and show a jury the differences between how he wrote this song and how he wrote that song. And he ended up winning that case, but he got accused of ripping off his
right.
own stuff.
No, and then if you talk to anybody in the music business, it's such a... dare I say, dirty business in
yeah.
that everyone seems to be stealing from everybody and there's litigation. And ultimately, the people who actually create the music oftentimes don't end up making as much money as you would expect.
Yeah.
And then you hear horror stories about musicians who've sold their publishing rights
yeah.
and they end up bankrupt.
Yeah.
and someone who's acquired them actually makes up all the money.
Yeah. So. Hey, just a reminder, by the way, listening to KX93.5 Laguna's Only FM, this is OC Caravan, and I want to remind our listeners that we got two incredible shows coming in the next 2 weekends. And I don't even want to talk about them. I just want them to happen. And I think hopefully we'll have the film crew in here as well, and we'll broadcast those on Cox. And I think, April, you're working on somebody for the end of March as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so possibly 3 or 4 great shows coming in March. So looking forward to that. Okay, I know we have my brother-in-law Mark on the line. I want to get to him, but let's start, April, with a little bit about the Grammys.
Okay, first listen to this.
Music Madness. Madness.
Woo! Is that the new sweeper sounder? Is it a sweeper or sounder?
It's both. It can be either one.
All right.
Yep.
All right, go. Music.
Whoa.
What are we supposed to do here?
And this is Beck. Yeah. Yeah, Beck was a big winner as well.
Yeah.
A little bit. I'm partially kind of early 90s Beck.
Like an early 90s Beck kind of guy.
Yeah. Like, I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me? Soy un perdedor. You know that one? I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me?
Alright. I like. There's Beck.
That's their song Blue Moon off of the album Morning Phase, and that was actually, they won Album of the Year.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, okay. Next, you're going to get this one.
Lady Antebellum. Oh, come on, Pharrell. Pharrell.
Happy.
Pharrell.
Happy. Did you see his get up during the Grammys? He was dressed as a bellhop.
He was, yeah, I like that.
With shorts? He always wears shorts when he performs.
He's looking better dressed these days than when he used to wear the Yogi Bear
now,
hat.
Now, Pharrell's a guy that has got it dialed in. He owns publishing. He's got production credits. He's got artists. So his performing art is very, very small of his empire. Very small part of his empire.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's a judge, or was, I think he is this season.
On The Voice?
Yep. And I was really impressed after watching him on there, just his music knowledge. I mean,
and he isn't afraid of grabbing people from different genres.
Yeah.
And the people he's produced goes full spectrum. He's not just into hip-hop or R&B. He goes way beyond.
Hey, why don't you go on The Voice?
Very cool. Oh, I don't know.
April. Okay, there we go.
All right, next.
The confidence thing again.
Yeah.
Don't work like they used to before.
Now the redheaded guy. Look at the Irish guy.
And I can't sweep you off of your feet.
I like this guy a lot. I can't think of his name though.
Will your mouth still remember the taste of
John
my
Mayer.
Love?
It was awesome.
That was John Mayer.
Will your eyes still smile
it was
from your cheek?
It was too.
Want to bet?
I wish I had a device that gave me information.
I play this up. I love this song. Play it up a little bit.
While I'm looking up the fact that John Mayer
baby
was playing
you
guitar,
love
for
to do this.
It's still for less. Heart of 23.
Great voice. Great song.
And
really?
Thinking about
over what's his face from the Eagles?
People fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fool.
Down the music. Talk to me. Bring down the music.
What does it say, April?
Really?
What does it say? Does it say?
Ed Sheeran featuring John Mayer thinking out loud. See, this is funny because my boyfriend and I are watching this. He goes, "That looks like John Mayer." I'm like, "Nah, kind of a nerdy version of John." I don't think so. So really?
It was.
So I guess you owe your boyfriend an apology.
By the way, and $20 to me. No, $100. Isn't that what we just bet? No. Bet you a dime. No. So John Mayer.
Yep.
Amazing guitar player.
Yeah, sure.
I took my daughter to see him at the Hollywood Bowl last year, and wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of a weird dude, and you hear about all the crazy stuff he's been through with Taylor Swift and Katy Perry and all this stuff. But man, that guy can riff.
Yeah, ooh. Great musician. Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, what do you got?
All right, next.
Mark, hang in there. We're coming to you in a moment. Lady Antebellum.
Mind is so blank. Some gold.
have it. I don't have it.
I can't. I mean, it sounds like a 70s kind of long intro.
Is it from the Grammys?
This was a Grammy winner? Okay.
All right. One of the new upcoming groups.
Okay.
Smoking Dragon.
Okay. Brian Adams. Not right. to be confused with Canadian great Brian Adams. You betcha.
All right, next.
Yeah, I betcha. This
one's easy. Lady Adam
Bellum. What would I do without your smart mouth?
You know who it is, right?
Drawing me in and you kicking me out.
John Legend.
Oh, I love John Legend.
John Legend just played a big fundraiser a couple weeks ago for Chalk.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
I
wonder what he charges for that.
Yeah, the year before they had Sheryl Crow. They always get a great act for that.
You know what you should do, man, with all your you know, all your charity work, is reach out to a big musician like John Legend or Sheryl Crow, and let's get him in the studio the night before or the morning before.
I know.
Yeah.
I'll have to keep my eye out for that stuff.
Let's make that happen.
All right.
Come on.
I'll put it on the list.
All right. Next.
My lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral.
You know who this
everybody's
is?
Disapproval.
Yeah, I don't know if I say the name right. If you're from Canada, you might call it Hosier. But it's Hosier? 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 Take Me to Church? This is a great song. Right. Hosier.
All right, next. I want to get to the contest. Lady Antebellum.
Coldplay. I want to go see Coldplay in concert.
Maybe I should. I am. Nice. We have any others?
Yeah, we got
more. Okay. Lady Antebellum.
Knowing that your door is always open and your path is free.
Glenn Campbell song.
Yeah, it's that.
Oh, the sister and the brothers. That makes me. What's the name of that book?
Ben Perry.
You like them? Do you really? Yeah, okay. Sure.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that.
You know that?
Take it.
No, it's not. Hang on. Just need a second.
Hey. 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 I can do anything you like. I can do anything you like. Beyonce. Have a 13-year-old girl side of your personality, Jim.
No,
yes, he does.
He knows his music.
Again, remember, I have a 14-year-old daughter.
14.
So if I drive around, I do listen to Hits 1 on Sirius XM.
You're both actually kind of like
13-year-old
girls.
Oh, here we go. Music, you know your movies. All right. Here's what we're going to do.
Oh, by the way,
yep.
If you were wondering, I had everybody in suspense. It's Hosier.
Okay, is that how you pronounce
Hosier.
It? Hosier.
Hosier. Hosier. Hosier.
You know, it's like that Jeopardy game on that Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Sean Connery.
saying the wrong words, man. All right, listen. Hey, let's get my brother-in-law on the phone. I want to see how this goes. This may not work at all, but...
How's the weather in Atlanta?
Well, we'll find out. Mark, are you there?
Good morning, Laguna Beach.
Hey, are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, I have to be on speakerphone.
Oh, you can't get off it? You can't do it any other way?
Well,
how the heck's he going to play his instrument?
Hang on.
Okay.
Okay, I'm hearing a lot of music in the background.
Yeah, we're kind of getting a little distortion there.
It's got to be the delay.
Yeah, there we go. How's that?
All right, you can hear us? No delay, right?
I hope there's no delay. I'm live on 5 right here.
All right, so Jim was asking, how's the weather out there, by the way? You were telling me this morning it's cold, right?
It is. It's 39 degrees and cloudy.
Wow.
That's not Hotlanta.
Yeah.
Hotlanta, yeah. And we had a little bit of sleet and freezing rain last night and this morning. So it was great.
All right.
Come on out.
Go, man.
It's a chilly 58 degrees this morning here.
Yeah. Hey, so Mark, I mean, for the listeners here, I want everybody to know that you and I did not plan this. I actually called you driving in this morning and asked if you would come on the air and play this little music game with us. And you are always receptive to my strange ideas, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, thanks for the pant load for making me look good. So, no, I'm just kidding. It's a little nerve-wracking waiting in the green room, getting ready to go on, but listening to some great artists. And by the way, I didn't know a single one of those songs that she played.
So. Yeah, well, Jim nailed them, so that, you know he's hip. So listen, here's what we're going to do. You have a very unique instrument that you play. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I ask you to go online, track down a list of all the Academy Award winners for songs, and you pick whichever songs you want, just as long as we know them. You know, we don't want obscure songs from 1937, but, you know, songs from movies that won Academy Awards for being Best Song of the Year, and you're going to play it on your unique instrument, and I want you to tell us, well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the nose harp, right?
That's what it is. It's the nose harp.
And so you've been tuning up a little bit.
I have.
Okay, and can you explain to the listeners how exactly you play the nose harp?
The nose harp is not dissimilar to a kazoo. However, there's no external instrument that you need to have or employ. It's simply with your nose, with one nostril closed with a finger.
Okay.
Humming through the nasal passages. The other hand is strumming the open nostril to give a semblance of musicality.
And so give listeners a little, and Jim and April here, because we're all going to play a little taste. Can you do your favorite, you know, whenever you're at a party, you always have that one favorite song you play? You know which one I'm talking about?
Sure. All right. Oh, sure, absolutely. And now let me tell you what I'm having to do here. I'm going to put my phone down because I can't hold the phone and use both hands, if you can understand.
All right. Hopefully we can hear you.
There's a market. Sure, I just got a great business idea.
Down here.
What? Wait, hold on.
Hands-free headsets for nose harp players so they can be played cross-country on the radio.
Good idea.
All right. Anyway.
Okay. All right, go.
All right, here we go. Let me tune it up first. Okay. Here we go. Hand of one, hand of two.
Oh, Bonanza, sorry. I miss my 60s Western television shows.
All right, Mark, now we know what the nose harp sounds like. And well done, by the way. Everybody's very impressed with your nose harp skills.
I just wanted to make sure the sound check went well, so we're good.
The sound check went well. Can you hear us when you're doing the nose harp, by the way?
I'm afraid I can't.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to just play sort of a quick verse. Don't you have to play the whole song, man. So
verse,
and then we're going to try to guess what song from what movie it is, all right? Jim, you ready for this?
I am ready.
April?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're almost speechless, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, I can understand. I will give you a clue. That may be helpful.
Okay.
Because, you know, the first time you hear the nose harp, you're not quite sure what key it's in.
Right.
This song is actually, Scott, from 1939.
Really? So, okay.
Yeah, I think you're going to get it that way.
Okay.
Hang on. Here we go.
You know,
got to guess the song and the movie.
I'm already on it.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow. There's the Nas. Come on.
All right, that was easy, man. Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz, 1939. Yeah.
What movie was that, All April?
Wizard of Oz.
All right, there you go.
We'll get into some details later. Okay.
All right, give us another one. Give us a more challenging one.
Okay. This one's from a movie from 1949.
Ooh.
Here we go. One, two, three.
You know this one.
I don't.
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh, what movie?
Neptune's Daughter.
That's the movie, Neptune's Daughter?
Neptune's Daughter.
Wow, interesting.
Baby, it's cold outside.
So So Jim got it? Did you get it?
But maybe it's cold out.
No, didn't Dean Martin do this?
You know
but
what?
I don't know if he did in the movie, but
it was called out. Well, Frank Loesser.
Okay.
I don't know who.
Yeah, later.
All right.
Okay.
Give us another.
That one was. How was that one from the scale of difficulty? Was it too easy?
No, Jim got it pretty quickly. So.
Okay. I hope you'll get this one, Scott. This is from a more recent time period, but still not quite in the 70s.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Butch Cassidy. Sundance Kid. Robert Redford.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. Raindrops Keep Falling. And by the way, April, have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
You have seen Butch Cassidy. And have you seen it, haven't you, Jim?
Yeah, it's been a long time, though.
Yeah. Great movie. And, of course, I love that song. It's sort of a fun song. That scene with Paul Newman on the bike riding with, I forget the actress's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I knew you'd probably get that one.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Give us another couple.
Okay, I'm going to get back to the 40s.
Uh-oh.
And this one might be a little hard. Here we go. All right, here we go. Oh, boy. Oh. What do you think?
When You Wish Upon a Star.
Oh, Pinocchio.
There you go.
You go. That was a Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket.
That's right. It was.
Very nice.
I'm doing a pretty darn good job here.
You are.
Right, I have a question from a friend
texting
me right now asking, would a nose ring change the sound? And can you maybe add a tambourine with maybe some nose piercing?
I wonder if it would change.
I think you're right. I mean, a nose ring would certainly cause some difference in the airflow.
Yeah.
And you may get a vibrato, but I think it's worth looking into. I'll talk to my wife about getting one.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure she'll love that. All right, give us another.
Okay. I've got two more I want to do. All right.
All right, two more.
And these are more recent, and I'm probably going to blow it. But here, no pun intended. Hang on. There we go.
We heard it last week.
Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, that's
good. Hey, don't be stealing my thunder. Okay, last one. I hope I can do this one.
All right.
This one's from the 80s.
All right.
Oh. Take My Breath Away.
Oh.
It was from Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Ellen McGillis, Tom Cruise.
Go. All right.
How about that? You guys are awesome.
Jim's awesome today. He's had his protein drink.
Yeah.
He's on it.
All right. Hey, Mark, thank you so much, man. It was fun to hear you play the nose harp
on air. I was a little concerned that maybe he'd be coming in with a different instrument.
You don't have any other...
at least he's not playing the skin flute.
Oh, here we go.
But I'm bump.
Hey, Mark, thank you again, man. Very fun, fun.
It was fun. I'm completely humiliated. So.
Oh, wait. No, we can do the armpit bass. My buddy Gene's giving me all these great ideas. We do the armpit bass. We got the nose harp, the skin flute. We can put a four-piece band together and take it on the road, baby. Yes!
Oh my God. Well, I can't wait to see the music video. All right, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great day, buddy. Appreciate it.
You got to.
See ya.
All right. Hey, so we're not done. We got a couple more minutes here. I want to talk a little bit. I got this came from a guy named Pat Gallagher. I think it was in Huffington Post. Let me ask a couple of trivia questions here. White Christmas. You know the song White Christmas?
There's no reason to bring race into this.
Uh-huh. It became a classic after Bing Crosby sang it in the movie White Christmas, but it was originally written for an earlier movie. Anybody know the title of that movie?
I did know this, and it's right there, and I can't remember it.
Holiday Inn, which I've never even heard of. But according to Guinness Book of World Records in 2007...
Most played Christmas song ever?
Yeah, exactly right. Best single selling of all time. What about the song Mona Lisa? What movie did that come from? Mona Lisa.
Yeah, that was...
Men Have Loved You.
Give me the year.
Would it be 1950?
Yeah. I can't place it.
Moon River. What movie? 1961.
Moon River.
Sung by Audrey Hepburn in the movie.
Oh, It wasn't Roman Holiday, was it?
No.
I don't know.
Made famous by Andy Williams, of course, who sang it at the Oscars in 1962, but it's from the movie Breakfast?
At Tiffany's.
At Tiffany's.
See, I had two Audrey Hepburn movies in my head, Breakfast at Tiffany's and Roman Holiday, and I guessed
you were
the
close.
Right one.
Yeah. Chim Chimmery.
Oh, that would be Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Who sang it?
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke. Very
da-na-na.
Nice.
Da-na-na.
Boom. There's got to be a morning after. You know the song, The Morning After?
The Morning After.
What song? A movie that was from?
No.
Is that who it is? That's Mark, who's just walked in. What movie is it from, though?
The Poseidon Adventure.
Hey, wow. Mark Miller coming through in the clutch.
The Poseidon Adventure, a classic adventure. 70s disaster film.
Yeah.
That was an awesome movie.
All right, I got a few more here.
Give me an acute fear of taking a cruise ever.
Yeah, this writer talks about that, by the way. Up Where We Belong.
Oh, that was...
Yeah. What movie?
With Richard Gere.
What movie?
Officer and a Gentleman.
Officer and a Gentleman.
I wanted to be her so bad.
Yes. I thought she was pretty hot in that
really
movie as a youngster.
Yeah.
I heard that I look like...
Yeah, I see that. Dark, you go dark hair. Like
Deborah Winger?
Go dark brown
Deborah
on your hair.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Well, according to this article, Richard Gere balked at shooting the ending of the film where Zach arrives at Paula's factory wearing his naval dress whites and carries her off to the factory floor. He thought it wouldn't work because it was too sentimental. But after they shot it a few
That's
times...
That's why he's an actor.
After they shot it a few times, according to this article, the crew started getting all worked up and crying over that particular scene. And then when he saw it with the music, he agreed it was the right call.
There you go.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Saddest scene ever in movies with Deborah Winger.
Which movie?
Terms of Endearment.
I love Terms of Endearment.
When she was dying
and
saying goodbye to her sons, that was just,
By the way, a book written by Larry McMurtry, and if my all-time favorite book is a Larry McMurtry book, Lonesome Dove.
Oh.
And that guy's an incredible writer. And he can write both males and females, which I think few writers can do. In Terms of Endearment, I think they did a great job on the making of that.
Jack Nicholson's character could write. Female.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Remember his line?
No.
So how do you write women? I think of a man, and then I remove all reason and logic.
Can
what
you,
was that movie?
I think of a man. As good as it gets.
As good as it gets.
I love that movie too, Diane Keaton.
Yep.
Love that one.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yep.
Lion King. Who wrote it?
Elton John.
Who's the lyricist? The
Mankin?
Tim Rice.
Tim Rice. Sorry.
And then, of course, My Heart Will Go On. Is everybody sick of that song from Titanic?
Celine Dion.
Oh. Yeah, Celine Dion. So.
Goodness.
Tim Rice and Elton John also, didn't they do the musical Aida?
I don't know. Yeah.
Obscure Broadway shows for 100, Alex.
All right. Hey, I've got a list of all the songs, by the way, and so just to mention a few.
That are nominated this year?
No, that won. Born Free.
Yep.
The theme from Shaft. Oh, here's one. The Way We Were. Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Oh.
Robert Redford, Barbara Streisand?
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
How did she get so many good leading men in her movie career?
I don't know.
It tells That's you if you question. Can sing.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm Easy from Nashville, written by Keith Carradine, if you can imagine that.
Oh, yeah.
Damon and Apollo. Evergreen from A Star is Born with Barbara Streisand, written by Paul Williams. By the way, ironically, this morning I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. We got time, Jim. I got a long story to tell. And there was a documentary on Paul Williams, and an interesting guy who wrote some great lyrics, great songs for The Carpenters and Three Dog Night and Barbara Streisand, including Evergreen, had apparently a drug-alcohol period that he went through and sort of sobered up and turned his life around. And it's kind of an interesting guy. I would love to get him in on this show, so I sent an email out this morning to the...
His publicist?
No, to the producer of the documentary.
Interesting.
Saying, hey, let's talk about your documentary, but only if you can get Paul Williams in on the show. So we'll see how that goes. Let me see what else we got real quickly here. Fame, of course.
Irene Cara or Cara?
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you pronounce that, April?
I'm not sure.
Beauty and the Beast. Oh, Streets of Philadelphia with Springsteen.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Great song.
Good movie.
Good movie, great song.
All right, that's about it. I don't think I have anything else.
What's nominated this year? Do we know?
I don't know. April, do you know?
What? Best original song for the Oscars. Do we know?
Oh, I'm not sure. No.
It's all right.
All right. Well, we got 5 minutes. What do you want to talk about, man? Let's work through this. We got 2 minutes, actually.
So, what was
that? Yes. Yes. All right. Good. Nice.
got a big lacrosse day today.
Are you coaching or you got a game?
No, I just get to watch. My kids have playoff games.
Oh, okay.
So I go from here to my son's game in Tustin, and then later today my daughter has a game in Irvine. Playoff time for lacrosse season.
Oh, okay.
SoCal lacrosse.
That sounds good.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
And then my oldest is on her way to Palm Springs for a friend's 18th birthday. Her parents are hosting something out there. So she's taking a couple friends out there. Hopefully she's driving safely.
I'm sure she is.
Yes, very responsible.
Yeah, good.
Next weekend, my daughter and my wife are going to visit some colleges.
Ooh.
They're going to North Carolina to see UNC Chapel Hill and Wake Forest.
Nice.
Which are two schools on our list, so they're going to go visit there. Then later on, I'll be taking her to Boston and Philadelphia. And then we'll be going to Michigan and Ohio.
Cause wow.
She doesn't want to be in California. She apparently doesn't enjoy warm weather and wants to experience something different. So,
well, all right.
There you have it. Yeah, I think so.
She'll appreciate the warm weather.
Unless every father's nightmare, she meets and falls in love with some dude from the East Coast, and then next thing you know, there goes my daughter.
Oh, boy. California.
Yeah. The things we do for love. Remember that song?
Yeah. Hey, reminder, by the way, that we air on Cox 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays. This weekend is the voice impersonator, Jeff Trakta. We've got a new contract going with Cox, so we start relaunching or rebroadcasting some past shows starting the 1st of April. And so we're looking forward to that as well. Other than that, I think we can get out of here. Any other thoughts?
You got some music from maybe we should pick one of the currently nominated songs, April. Okay. Let's see if I can find that out on this handy-dandy device.
Okay, Mark's coming in with the Friendship Show. And I don't know if he's got a guest or not. Mark, if you want to come in and kind of promo your guest, that's great. Otherwise, Jim, you're killing time here. It's dead air, man. Dead air.
We're killing time.
Go ahead, throw a song up there.
All right, listen. All right. You're listening to Cakes 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. On behalf of myself, Jim Bastian, and engineer April Johnson, this is OC Caravan. Tune in the next 2 weekends. We've got great shows coming up, so thank you.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you